Bless you. Good morning, everyone. Good morning. We just came back from South Africa, the sunny South Africa, to the reality check of London Heathrow. That just while we were in Cape Town, on Cape Town International, you know, everybody's got their flip-flops on and so on. And me and the Obi started dressing up, ready for London. And people were thinking, like, why are you having these jackets for, you know, and all these bomber jackets and all of this? We said, we're just preparing ourselves for where we're going. The Welsh hearts are warm. That's why we're back. Yes, no, thank you. Happy New Year to everyone. To you and your family and everybody that you represent and that you are connected to. So let's get straight into the message this morning. Because we got communion and we need to get back to where we need to be as well. But this passage is just really touched me as well as I prepared. The title of the sermon is The King's Arrival, A Call to Kingdom Living. That we are called to live according to the values and the purpose and the character of Jesus, his nature. And so 2025 is a year where we all are excited about what 2025 could look like. But as I was preaching in South Africa, the Holy Spirit just said to me, like, what if we ask, if the 2025 were a person, and we asked the person, what are you expecting people to, how people should show up? I wonder what the answer would be. Because we're excited about 2025, but actually 2025 are looking for what we're going to bring in 2025. Because it's this abstract, God will bless us, and it's great declarations, and it's amazing. But faith without works is dead. It goes together. And so 2025 are looking forward to all the gifts that's in each one of us. And what would that look like by the end of 2025? Can 2025 stand and says, you have really accomplished what you said that God has set in your hearts to be who you need to be. And so thank you so much again for praying for my family in South Africa. God is saving my family one by one. And I want to encourage you that even if your friends and family are not there yet, keep praying without ceasing. Keep believing. Even when you get tired, keep trusting. Keep believing God. My sister, you know that... I know some of you know that she used to sleep under the bend, you know, under the bridges, and you know, in South Africa. While we're preaching here, while we're doing what God has called us to do, there's always our family and friends that we trust in God for. And so while I'm preaching there, my sister's sleeping under a bridge. And God saved her life. God touched her. She's delivered. She's changed. And now she's working for the social services in South Africa and touching the hearts of people who live on the streets. While we're here, and also my sister as well, you know, my other sister that kept, I mean, you know, Sheila knows, like, been struggling. When I was preaching in South Africa, she came out and gave her life to Jesus. And so it's just mind-blowing how God does not forget about us. And so that we are called to live this kingdom living, regardless of sometimes what we go through. It's about what we can give. For God loves a cheerful giver. Keep giving, keep praying, keep believing, keep believing. And my brother that used to struggle as well, total transformation, change in this guy's life. He used to drink a lot. And when we got back this year, things change. And sometimes we have to be firm and fair with friends and family as well. And so last year when we went to South Africa, we didn't see him. He was in no sight. And when we got back, I said, you know, that was uncalled for. We fly 12 hours, pay lots of money to see you guys, and there's you're nowhere to be seen. And my brother said to people, I took what my brother said because he never, like, he would never be as firm as he was. But we're calling people higher. And when they see our lives, they can say, I can trust you because there's credibility. And so God changed this life as well. And we had a good Christmas all together. And I was just amazed that sometimes we don't see. But God is saying, keep praying without ceasing. And that's my encouragement to all of us today, to keep believing God for the impossible. And he will make the impossible possible. Amen? So yeah, so this passage is the Passion Week. And it was a week before Jesus would die for our sins. The Saturday, Jesus arrived in the location of Jerusalem in a town 2 miles from there, which Bethany, and who was at Bethany? Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. So Jesus, on the Saturday before the Passion Week, Jesus was just hanging out with Lazarus, because he raised Lazarus a couple of weeks before that. Raised him from the dead, and now they meeting together, and Jesus in Bethany. The Sunday he remained with them, but on the Monday he returns now to Jerusalem. He's coming into. So the Tuesday, that's when he returned with his disciples. So I'm going to read again a couple of passages just to get us back. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go ahead to the village, and just as you enter it, you will find a colt tied there, which no one has ridden on. Untie it and bring it here. If anyone asks you, 'Why are you doing this?' say, 'The Lord needs it, and will send it back there shortly.'" What a profound thing. I was like, disciples, you guys are stealing. Because the colt was untied, never ridden on. But that was a prophecy in Zechariah 9:9. The Jewish people, you know, like for us, it's, I was just thinking about, is there any prophecies that we could look in our lives and say, that will still happen, God will do that for us? Because as they were saying this, Zechariah 9:9, because the people, if it was me, Roz, I would have said, "Why are you guys stealing? I'm going to call the police. I don't care if you're a leader in the church, you shouldn't be stealing." But these people knew, wow, something, because this is the first time that Jesus actually revealed himself as the Lord. The Lord has need of it. And remember that the Jewish people were looking for a Messiah. And many times Jesus would heal people and he would say to them, "Don't tell anyone. Don't tell anyone. Because my time has not come yet." So this moment, that Tuesday, that week, that was the confirmation of the timing of Jesus as Messiah, as the anointed one. So when they said that the Lord has need of it, that's why they thought, "Oh, we don't need to call the police then." Because this is a prophecy that's coming to fruition right now, right in this moment. The Lord has need of it. Thanks, Jesus. Jesus says, "I will give it back." Thank you, Jesus, for not keeping it because it's not yours. He says, I will give it back. But I was struck by the names as well. In the Bible, don't just read. If there's a name, there's always meaning for a name. I mean, it's symbols. There's symbolic. There's something. So Bethphage is the house of figs. It means the house of figs. Bethany means the house of affliction. So Lazarus was afflicted. He died. And then Mount Olives are also a great, that's where Jesus ascended from. Gethsemane was at the foot of the mountain, Mount Olives. Mount Olives was the place where Jesus prayed. It's amazing that how all these things strategically happen in a location. That is just mind-boggling. The Mount of Olives, where he ascended from. And again, in Zechariah 14:4, it says that he will ascend from there. All these prophecies are coming to fulfillment within 1 week. Many, many promises. And he came on a donkey. What kind of king is that? Because kings come on the stallions to show that we're ready for war. Jesus, king of all kings, come on a donkey. And still say that the Lord has in need of it. Again, it is prophesied. It's in prophesied. And in, if you're making notes, because there's such a lot of things here that in Daniel chapter 9, it actually talks about the timing. You know the Tuesday? Daniel 9 are actually speaking of when it will happen. So that Tuesday will happen, it's in Daniel chapter 9 to 25. From the time he spoke to the time, the Tuesday, people knew, oh, it's happening today. This is the fulfillment of that prophecy. So the triumphal entry, there's significance about the donkey. Because when kings in the time of in the time when kings used to fight against the enemy, you must at least kill 5,000 soldiers of the opposing of the enemy to have a triumphal entry. 5,000. Yeah, he killed 5,000. So this triumphal entry coming in is the thing of on the horses and all the parading going on because people know he killed 5,000. So how is it that Jesus had a triumphal entry? Who did he kill? Because all the setting happens in the Roman Empire. In the time of the Roman Empire, here Jesus comes on a donkey. Because in those days, when they wanted to make peace, kings would come on a donkey. So when they come on a donkey, the enemy knows that that's not a stallion. They're not here for war. They're here actually for peace. And Jerusalem means shalom, right? It means peace. The Prince of Peace, Jesus, rides into Jerusalem, which means shalom. And he comes. But the 5,000, did he kill 5,000 people? No, just in John, it talks about how people gave their lives to Jesus. 5,000 people in one day. See the significance? 5,000 people in one day. Jesus gave life to 5,000, not kill them. So Jesus comes and on this way, people were saying, Hosanna, Hosanna. But not knowing it would be the same people days from there that would say, crucify him. Crucify him, but yet they say, Hosanna, Hosanna. It's fascinating that for us as people, it's like, one day we say, Jesus is amazing. The next day when we go through trials, we're like, where's he? What, like, doesn't he know what I'm going through? Yes, he knows. He knows the end from the beginning. But these people, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. They saying all these things because Jesus is coming in because they were looking for a militant leader. The disciples asked Jesus, has your time come for you to overthrow Rome? So they perceived Jesus not to be nicey-nice. They wanted Jesus to be mad. And says, we're going to overthrow, I'm going to call legions of angels and I will burn this place down. But he didn't. He came in humility, on a donkey, coming with peace. And hear these people, Hosanna to, blessed is the coming kingdom of our father David. That's why for us as kingdom citizens, we are called to live, number one, in humility. We have to have humility in our hearts and that we have to esteem other people higher than ourselves. So when I said to my brother, and my sister, they always say this about me, and I thank God for it. They said, you've never been judgmental towards us because people are looking at us. Particularly our family and friends, they know us. If there's any, you know, this judgmental spirit, they know. But they said, you've never been judgmental towards us. You've always seen the best in us. And I'm standing there, but to be honest, in my head, I had many fights with them. In my head. Some of them I choked. In my head. Just a little nudge. In my head. I'm glad I didn't verbalize it. Because God knows our thoughts. But they said, you never judged us. Because why I don't judge you is because I esteem you higher than me. Because if I esteem you higher than me, then I won't be superior towards you. So as kingdom citizens, God is calling us to live a life of humility. Because when we humble ourselves, God will lift us up, not for status, but for service. He lifts us up. But pride, what he says, he resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. He gives grace to the humble. And here these people, and then Jesus entered Jerusalem and went into the temple courts. He looked around at everything, but since it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12 again. So now he was in Jerusalem, now he goes back to Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. The temple courts. The temple plays a significant role in the Jewish people's lives. King Solomon built the first temple. The temple was a place of God's presence where people would go. And here Jesus is now going to curse the fig tree, which represents symbolically the temple. Remember when the first temple was destroyed? Babylon captured the people of Israel. And it says when 70 years were completed for Babylon, they will return back. They will return back. And then God says, pray for the peace in the city and pray for Babylon. It's weird. So they are in exile. And God says, I will bring you guys back. And so the second temple was built. The second temple was built. And here Jesus comes and Jesus says, that's going to be overthrown. The very thing, because you haven't lived a life that reflects my nature. The presence of God. The next day, as they were leaving Bethany, Jesus was hungry. Seeing in the distance a fig tree in leaf, he went to it. He went and found out if it had fruit. When he reached it, he found nothing but leaves because it was not the season for figs. The thing here about this amazing thing, it says, in Israel, the figs comes first and then the leaves. If there's leaves, it would indicate that there is fruit. But Jesus comes and he didn't find fruit. Even before, pre-fruit, even before the leaves, there will be some pre-fruit that you can eat. And then the leaves come and the leaves are saying, there should be fruit. And Jesus comes and this tree does not produce no fruit. What does the word of God says? We will be judged by the fruit that we bear. The fruit is the characteristics of Jesus. And so here, this is now where he says, for there was no fruit. There's no fruit. Then he said to the tree, may no one ever eat fruit from you again. And his disciples heard him say it. You will not produce anymore. No one will eat from you. On reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple courts. Now see now, the fig tree represents the temple. Just see how what Jesus is doing and what he's saying prophetically to the church. And I was thinking as I studied, and I think, imagine Jesus comes and says, there will be no more church, no Sunday gatherings anymore. This place won't be a place of worship anymore. I'm not pleased with you. Wow. Imagine every church across the world, Jesus says, I'm not pleased with none of you. Pack up. I'm like, how would we live? Jesus now, he says, on reaching Jerusalem, Jesus entered the temple courts and began driving out those who were buying and selling there. He overturned the tables of the money changers and the benches of those selling dove, and would not allow anyone to carry merchandise through the temple. Remember, the temple was about the outer courts, the inner courts, and the holies of holies. Right? These are the three. Until Jesus came and he torn the veil from top to bottom and he says, it's no longer the outer court, the inner court. It's now you personally, you can enter the throne of God boldly. So we don't need no priest on behalf to go into the holies of holies. We can do it by ourselves. We can trust the Lord by ourselves. And so he says, and as he taught them, he said, it is written, my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. Do you know why that is? Because the whole selling and merchandising, all of those things happened at the outer court. And so Jesus is saying, my house should be a house of prayer, but now you've made it a den of robbers. Because the nations, some Gentiles like us, we couldn't go in because we're not Jewish. And so now they're selling all these things where the Gentiles should come in and pray because we can only go as far as this. And now they're making it a den of robbers. And you will come from all over and you would bring your currency, give it to them, and they would exchange it for you so that you could buy animals for sacrifice. So what happens now? This is the religious leaders doing all these things. The Sadducees, the Pharisees, these people are doing this to God's people. And God is saying, and he's overthrowing all these things, and he says, this cannot happen. Because this should be a house of prayer for all nations. But you've made it a den of robbers. The chief priest, look at that, the chief priest and the teachers of the law heard this and began looking for a way to kill him. Because now you're interrupting. We've been corrupt now. Our corruption is in such a way that we don't even know we're doing wrong. So Jesus comes in, is overthrowing these things, is not allowing any merchandise to come through the courts, and now they're mad at him. How many leaders we have in the body of Christ that you're wrong, but now you challenge them, and believe me, they would slander your name. My house will be a house of prayer. And they did not. They were challenging him. They were about to kill him. And remember when Jesus was given over to Pilate? And Pilate says, I wash my hands. And who did he give it over to? Back to the religious leaders, the Pharisees. And they crucified Jesus. And the same people who said, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. All of them stood, yeah, because this is our leaders now. And God is challenging leaders to be upright and righteous before God, because what we do will affect the people that God is bringing in. And here, in this, like I said, the temple, Isaiah 56, 6 and 7, Jeremiah 7, verse 9 and 11, if you're making notes, it's all there. It says there. I will read Isaiah. I will read Isaiah, and then we go to the other ones quickly. I just want to read Isaiah for us quickly. Okay, let me just go to Jeremiah. Just one scripture. Jeremiah 7. Verse 9, it says, you will steal and murder, commit adultery and perjury, burn incense to Baal and follow other gods you have not known, and then come and stand before me in this house which bears my name. This shall be a house of prayer. And God is now saying, God is really speaking and says, no, what are you doing? The house that bears my name become a den of robbers to you. But I have been watching, declares the Lord. I've been watching. LBC should be a place of worship. We come here to be worship. And because of our worship, God will bring the people to a place where it is for all nations to come in worship. For all nations to come and worship. So just reading on. It says, when evening came, Jesus and his disciples went out to the city. In the morning, as they went along, they saw the fig tree withered from the roots. It's amazing that when Jesus speaks, things happen. When Jesus speaks, things happen. The disciples said, Peter remembered and said to Jesus, Rabbi, look, the fig tree you cursed has withered. And I think he must have thought Jesus is going to be like, what are you talking about? Jesus is like, because I spoke it, it will come to be. The disciple was amazed. He remembered, oh, Jesus said this. And then I like how Jesus answers people. Why aren't you talking about the withered tree? Jesus said, have faith in God. Sometimes I don't get Jesus. Jesus, we're talking about this. Why are you talking about that? Because Jesus wanted to teach him something. It's have faith in God, Jesus said. Truly I tell you, if anyone says to the mountain, go, throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes what they say will happen, it will be done for them. Jesus, what are you on about? You're not talking nothing about the tree, man. What are you on about? Jesus is calling us higher. Now, all these things are happening in the week, and Jesus is calling them, just have faith in God. Everything that will happen, God will make all things come to pass. Romans 8:28, for all things work together for good to those that love the Lord, that are called according to his purpose. It will work. Just have faith in God. That's all Jesus is saying. Just have faith in God. And then Mark 11, 20, from 22 to 25, the teaching there is all about faith, forgiveness, and prayer. Jesus, faith, forgiveness, and prayer. As kingdom, as we live in kingdom living, that's the things we have to do. Believe God, have faith in God, forgive, and prayer. That's the three things for this year. Keep trusting, have faith, believe. Forgiveness is another thing, because forgiveness hinders prayers. Unforgiveness hinders prayers. Unforgiveness hinders prayers. And this is what he's saying to them. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you. That's the criteria. So if I stand here and I worship Jesus and I think like, oh, I haven't said anything to, I'm holding something against Jack. I need to stop. I need to make right now. Jack, listen, I said something that I shouldn't have said. Because if I don't do this, I'm hindering the prayer that I need to pray. And God won't, because he said, if I forgive, he will forgive. And it doesn't mean if you don't forgive, you're not going to go to heaven. You are going to go to heaven based on the salvation that Jesus provided for you. And by faith, you received him. And you, that's different. Just like if I have a disagreement with my wife, she doesn't say, okay, you're going to be divorced for 3 days. And when you've cleaned up your act, then you can come back. No, I'm still married. But the forgiveness always brings people together. Even if they've done they've done you wrong. The Bible says when you stand there and you think, oh my days, I didn't like how they treated me. Forgive them. Because that unforgiveness will cause your prayers to be hindered. Your prayers to be hindered. And Jesus is saying to them, if you stand praying and you think of anything you hold against anyone, forgive them. And that is the kingdom living that God wants us to walk in. Now, it says, when you ask anything in prayer, believe that you received it. How many of you ever prayed that prayer and nothing happened? Lord, your word says, if we pray, believe that we receive. And now we think, maybe I'm doubting. Maybe I have unbelief. First John speaks about, the Bible says that we have confidence in this, that whatever we pray according to the will of God, he hears our prayers. Anything we pray according to the will of God, he hears our prayers. So the will of God is for me to forgive people, right? That's his will, because that's how he set it apart. So if I don't forgive them, my Father in heaven does not hear that prayer. He can't act on that prayer. Because he says, when we pray according to the will of God, he hears our prayers. So there's times we pray and God is like, that's not my will. But we keep praying, we keep believing, keep trusting, and then we become despondent. Jesus, where are you? And Jesus is like, find scripture and pray scripture. That's the key. In this word is God's will. When you read a scripture, pray the scripture. That's his will. So his will for me is not to have unforgiveness in my heart, regardless of what they did to me. My prayers will be hindered, not theirs. My prayers will be hindered. And so for 2025, I believe God is saying it's about faith, forgiveness, and prayer. Hold that dear to your life. And because of that, our families and friends, our communities will be changed. But imagine Jesus said that this gathering, imagine Jesus comes in here and he says, this gathering is no more. Don't come back here. But the good thing is, the temple we're talking about, there will be a fifth temple where the new Jerusalem, new heaven, new earth, the new Jerusalem will come down. But now God has made you and me the temple. Our bodies is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So Jesus is like, it's not about external things anymore. It's about internal. The woman at the well said, but you worship in Jerusalem. We worship on the mountain. And Jesus says, forget that. God is seeking true worshipers. They that will worship him in spirit and in truth. It's not about external things anymore. We can meet in a mud hut in Africa. We can meet under a tree. We can meet together in each other's houses. We can meet in a car. Wherever the presence of the Lord is, wherever two agree as touching anything, where there's two or three gathered in my name, where does he say? I am there. And so that is the message God wants to give to us. The king has arrived. The good news, the king will come again. But when he comes again, how will he find us? Will he find unforgiveness in our hearts? Or will he find forgiveness? Will he find faithfulness? Will he find prayer? Will he find we are the ones that's standing in for the ones that's not there yet? So we should be grateful that God has called us to be ambassadors and to be his mouthpiece. And that's my cue. So I'm going to pray, but we're going to stand after my prayer, and we're going to sing a song by Brenton Brown, Adoration. Amen. Father, we thank you so much for your grace and mercy today. Jesus, thank you that you came through Jerusalem. Lord, on a donkey symbolizes the peace of God. Peace on earth and all goodwill to all men. Father, we thank you today, Lord, that the temple, you destroyed the temple because of leaders not fully stepping into what you've called them to be. Father, I pray for the leadership of this house that we will step into that place with you first and hear from you. And that we can come back and say, this is what the Lord is saying. And Lord, I pray that each one of us will have that encounter with you again in a powerful way. And Lord, whoever we need to forgive, Holy Spirit, give us the courage to do so, that our prayers may not be hindered anymore. And Father, we thank you that we will be like your citizens that says, let your kingdom come and let your will be done in our lives as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's stand and just give him all our adoration.